Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We'll need headphones on. You will need headphones on, Amanda. Martin, you will need headphones on too. Now, we're joined in studio by three people who are involved in Our Land, which is a series of programmes on the RTE Player, which looks at being members of, I suppose, ethnic minorities and living in Ireland in 2022. That's it, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll get our three people, guests, contributors, to introduce themselves. So I'll start ladies first.
Yep. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Addy. I'm 24, originally from Kildare Town. I don't know what else to say when people ask me what I do. I'm the creative director of a group named Black and Irish.
That's great. You're very welcome. Thanks for coming in, Amanda.
Thanks very much.
My name is Martin Mahon. I'm a traveller, actor, writer and activist. I live down in County Kerry, Tralee. I do a lot of work in the community and I'm hoping to get more work as a full-term actor. But at the minute, I'm doing a lot of traveller work for Kerry Traveller Movement as well, project down in Tralee.
Martin, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming up
from
Tralee. And down the corridor... hello,
hi,
Dagogo. How are you? Introduce yourself there.
How's everybody doing? My name is Dagogo Hart. I'm a Dublin-based poet, performer, writer, arts curator. All-round writer, I guess.
You're very welcome to the program. Thanks, Dagogo. We'll start with you, Dagogo, because you're far away from us. So the big question then, what is it like being part of an ethnic minority living in Ireland in 2022 for you?
For me personally, one thing I am glad about being, you know, part of the Black Irish community is the celebration of a different culture, because it's that beautiful blend of the like indigenous African culture, say Nigerian culture or Congolese culture, and fusing that with what it means to be Irish and the Irish culture, and just coming out with something new and exciting and beautiful and celebrating that. I think that's the most important thing for me.
Mm. So you arrived here when you were what age?
16. Yeah, in 2010.
And Amanda, you arrived here when you were two.
No, two, yeah.
Yeah, so you're full on Irish. Yeah.
At this stage. Yeah.
Have you any memories of where did you come from? Nigeria?
South Africa.
Have you any memories at all?
I have one random memory. That's probably my first memory, I think, when I must have been two as well. So we used to live on a farm. So I have this random memory of my older cousin trying to avoid cow poo on the floor, literally. Right. Random memory, that's literally the only memory I have as a child.
It's obviously a strong one.
Yeah.
Pats, we call them here, isn't it? Cow pats.
Cow pats.
See what I said here? Like that's not ridiculous. I was had to kick myself there in my head. So what about you then, Amanda? So you're Black and Irish.
Yeah.
So what's it like for you?
Being part of the community, I think it's changed a lot in the last couple of years. Initially, kind of when I was growing up, there weren't really many other people that looked like me in Kildare Town. I was actually one of the first Black people in the history of my primary school. So that was, you know, an entire experience on its own. But I think as we've kind of seen in recent years, as the community has kind of expanded, that sense of identity, similar to what Dagogo was saying, I think is something that has just really developed. Because it's such a young community as well, like trying to develop what it means to be Black and Irish, what it means, you know, to be a Black person in Ireland and being part of that community and all those little, the nuances, the experiences that we kind of share is not something that actually was even defined until about 2 years ago. So,
and it's a work in progress, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I'm delighted, Martin, that you and Huey Mahon are in this programme.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm so delighted because... And I don't know if you feel this. I always felt that the travelling community got left out of discussions on racism in this country.
Yes.
Is that?
I've always felt that. And I've always felt that. I always said when I was growing up in Tralee and I was going to primary and secondary school, we were being taught certain things and we were being taught about racism and we were being taught to never, ever say the N-word. And thankfully, thank God we were taught that. And we were taught to treat people from different European countries rightly and to never, ever make a racist comment about them. But then I would see that when it would come to traveller racism, it never existed. When people were making jokes about our community using the K word and the P word and people know what I'm referring to, it was laughed upon, it was joked upon, and it was saying, that's a good one, well done. It was never called upon, we were never called back for it. And so I feel 100% dead right. We have been alienated for a long, long time in this country. And it's very, very sad because the fundamentals of traveller culture, the music, the storytelling, the tamashines, the Brán Brac, the everything that you would think of Ireland is a little bit of from traveller culture. And I'm not trying to say that to elevate ourselves. I'm just saying there's a little bit of it there.
Mm.
And then to see us being such a second-rated society, even lower than a second-rated society in this country, as Eileen would have put it there on our recent Claire Byrne live appearance, is 100% accurate. So it's very, very sad to feel in your own country that you're not accepted. It's very sad. It's very sad.
I'm wondering in discussions about racism, it must have been so frustrating for you.
Yes.
Because you, as you say, you learnt all those things in school and you bought into them, as it should be.
As it should be, yeah.
Yeah, but then you were looking at your own community.
And I'm like, what's wrong with us? Like, I'm like, it was never an afterthought. And it was kind of like, it must have been passed down from the families growing up from the 60s and 70s and 80s to kind of accept that. And it's kind of the things that you don't say is the worst thing. And the small things is what matters, is what in this particular situation as to you wouldn't be corrected for saying that about traveling community. And you wouldn't be saying, come here now, we shouldn't be saying that anymore. It was always, that's a good one. That's a good one. Keep it up. It's hilarious what we're saying. We're making them feel different. In our own,
do you know that expression? Is it a high tide raises all boats? And I think it's brilliant because we have to have discussions about racism in this country.
Yeah.
That travellers are included now. We're looking at it differently for the first time in our history.
And I think it's going back to the ethnic celebration and the ethnic recognition just about 2 years ago. And I think personally, it looked like it was going to do great stuff and all the signs ticked the boxes and all the politicians spoke and we all were great. But a lot of travellers don't really believe in politicians because they know that the local jurisdictions, that those TDs are in their local towns instead of when they're coming to the national level representing their county, they don't do a lot of work for travellers in the towns in Kerry.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
It's hard for them to get into that.
Okay, so you were saying, Amanda, that you were the first black child in your primary school.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a brass band and bunting, was there, to celebrate?
No, no, no. I remember it was literally two of the nuns at the time working in the school. They were just like, oh, we've never seen an African child in here before. And, you know, just at that time, like, that's a lot of ignorance and a lot of people just not knowing. I'd say for the most part, like, genuinely, a lot of the questions and a lot of, like, the... yeah, just a lot of the questions that I probably would have gotten is just people genuinely just never having experienced people that look like me ever before.
Yes.
And I think the perceptions then that they kind of had at the time were from the likes of like Trokra and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I think that heavily played into how people kind of viewed me initially and, you know, view people kind of moving into Kildare Town at that time. And people from African backgrounds, there was that sense of, you know, kind of matching people up against what they saw in the Trokra ads.
So what? We're helping you, you poor thing.
You poor thing, yeah, 100%, yeah. Literally.
Yeah. And the go-go, so you were sort of not fully formed, but you were a teenager, so you knew what was going on in the world when you arrived here.
Yeah.
And why did you and your family, or just you, choose Ireland?
Well, to be honest, I didn't choose Ireland.
Okay. we're into honesty today. That's important.
So I applied for a scholarship when I was in Nigeria to study medicine in university. And I got that scholarship and they sent me to Ireland, essentially. I remember when I first saw Dublin International College, I had to Google it. Okay, where is this?
Okay.
Yeah. But upon coming here, actually, my first year was in Tralee, in Martin.
Martin's hometown,
Exactly. And I remember being in the college down in Tralee, and because I came with a group, and every time we went out, it was kind of like if we walked into a pub, except everything went into slow motion. Everyone just turned around and started looking at us. Like, it was very, very uncomfortable going out when we first moved to Tralee. So we had to basically just have house parties for the whole year.
That's 12 years ago?
Yes, this was in 2010, late 2010, yeah.
All right, so 11 and a half years ago, right, okay.
And even when I moved to, because I studied in University College Cork, and even when I moved to Cork to study, even in the university setting where you think people, because I know Amanda was talking about ignorance and that, even when you think people will be more enlightened, even those experiences, obviously there was good experiences and people that are not everybody's the same. I'm not trying to paint everyone with the same brush. But you had college professors saying things like black people can't get depressed because their problems are not sophisticated. Like,
what you did now? Come on! Somebody actually say that?
Yes.
So they didn't have the intelligence to be depressed.
Exactly.
My word.
Yeah, because our problems are basic, like food, clothing, and shelter. So we couldn't, you know. I suppose depression is a more complicated illness than that.
It's the same in the traveling community. Like, I remember in shops and they'd follow you around the shop and they'd have a perception that you're going to rob before you even go in there. And they think that you're not educated to. I remember being told when I was 14 and they were following myself and my younger brother around the shop in Tralee, and they said to us that we're not educated to spend money. We only know how to rob it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make... What does that even mean? If I'm not educated to spend money, but I'm going to rob it to spend it.
Yeah, well, that's ignorance, Martin, isn't it?
You know what I mean? It's the little thoughts.
The more I get involved in this conversation, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, Dagogo, you're black. Amanda, you're black. Martin, to look at him, you know, he's Irish and white. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet his community have been, you know, discriminated against for hundreds of years. What do you think of the traveller situation, or do you know enough about it to have an opinion?
I wouldn't say I know enough about it to have an opinion into like nuances and stuff.
No, but
like,
just, you know,
overall, like, it's discrimination is discrimination. You know, racism is racism. And I would actually, because that was actually a subject matter, I think, over the last year of whether, you know, discrimination against travellers is racism or not. But the fact that a lot of what people would call indigenous Irish people consider traveller, people from the travelling community, to be a completely separate people
That's
altogether.
That's what I mean. We're like alienated. They don't associate us with the community.
But you are recognised as an ethnic minority.
Yeah,
now.
Thank God. I meant the actions is a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
I kind of thought when that happened that it was just for show, because everything after that, when we got our celebration, nothing changed. The public perception didn't change. Mm. The public eye didn't change. The travellers being refused bars, being refused nightclubs, this public perception that we're no good and that we just want to live off the social. It didn't change anything.
I know one of your big things, Martin, is mental health within the travelling community.
Yes.
And you know, they're trotted out all the time, and they're hugely important statistics, that the rate of suicide in young traveller men is seven times higher than the general community. And so you've thought about this, you've chatted to people about it.
Yes.
Why do you think that is the case?
I think because traveller men, and it's a catch-22 what I'm about to say, and I know a lot of traveller men are listening to this and have heard me speak about mental health, so I have to be very careful. But I think it's, they're unrecognised in this country. They don't have an identity, only the identity that the culture gives you.
Because Which culture?
Our culture.
Yeah, right, okay. And what is that identity?
For the fact that we cannot feel that we will be accepted by someone outside of the community to go and bear our emotions to, because traveller men are very subdued and they're very in their head. So it would take a lot.
Why is that, do you think?
Because it's a macho man mentality.
Right.
And they have to wear their family on their sleeve, and everything is, you're the macho man and you're the man of the family, and you can't show weakness or you can't show any kind of type of depression, and that doesn't come into your discussion.
Okay.
But it does. And then sometimes it happens to them when they're being married so young and they're not able for the pressure.
Right.
And they're still a kid having a marriage, being put in a trailer and with a girl, and you have to raise a family together at such a young age. It's very, very difficult for them, and they can't show weakness. So instead of feeling that the public health system would let them down by reaching out for mental health services because they feel because of who they are, they wouldn't get a call back or they wouldn't be treated.
Okay.
They would turn to doing some drastic stuff with some
You said at the beginning that you wanted to choose your words carefully because you knew people within the travelling community were listening.
Yeah.
So what do they think when you say things like that? Got feedback?
I've got positive feedback and I've got negative feedback, but I'm bearing myself to that.
Yes. Okay.
Because when you put yourself in this area and what I'm trying to fight for, I'm prepared for scrutiny and I'm prepared for people to say, and the negative and the positive. But
so,
my intentions are good.
Yeah, they are good. Of course they are. And
you know what I mean?
Talking is hugely important.
Yeah.
Just talking. And you became an accidental activist.
Yeah.
So it was back, George Floyd 2 years ago now? Or
2 years.
Coming on
2 years.
Yes.
That was May 2020. Yeah, so even prior to that, kind of leading up to that, I'd actually started a podcast myself, kind of discussing issues around, you know, the Black Irish community and trying
boxed
to
get out.
The Boxed Out podcast. Yeah. So that was from March, literally as soon as lockdown happened, I finally had the time to start the podcast. So I was kind of having these discussions leading up to that. And then when the issue, then when the incident happened in May of 2020, I remember just kind of reading online just a lot of perspectives, particularly from Irish people, saying, oh, well, thank God there's no racism in Ireland. Oh, look at how bad America is and that kind of thing. So obviously, it's laughable. Yeah, honestly. And I think that sense of just people that disconnect, I think, was what triggered me. I was like, what in the world? What do you mean there's no racism here? Like, that literally, you know, that is dismissing, you know, a lot of people's lived experiences here in Ireland. So that got me so angry, and I ended up making a video and posting it up on Instagram. And then from that point, it kind of got a bit of traction, and probably when I became a quote unquote activist. So it wasn't necessarily something like I set out to do.
Yes, it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. No. I was just speaking on something that I was passionate about, something that I felt needed to be addressed. And
but it was very much from the heart.
From there, 100%.
And very fluent and very 100%. Articulate. So I can see how people, you know, went to you then, you know, when they wanted an opinion. The Go-Go, that thing about racism in America, racism in the UK, racism in Ireland, they're all, you know, they're all at different stages, if you like. So what do you think when you look at that, you know, like... the Floyd George, his murder was a product of a certain type of racism in the United States of America. In the UK, they're probably sixth or ninth generation black communities, Caribbean communities, Nigerian communities. In Ireland, probably we're what third generation, second generation,
second, third, max.
So we can't really equate ourselves as a nation to America and the UK.
We can't, but at the same time, we're in 2022. Like, we have the internet and we have all these devices that kind of makes the world a small village at the end of the day.
Yes.
And we are able to see the things that are happening, like, across the pond, both in the UK and America, and, you know, compare it to the experiences that we have here. I mean, if there was no, you know, similarities or shared experiences with the people, the black people here and the people, you know, in the UK and America, then we wouldn't be going to the streets to protest. Like, I mean, the very reason we're going to the streets to protest is because we don't want it to get to that stage. Hopefully,
yeah,
it doesn't
so that's
get
the
to
thing.
That,
that was my next question. Because we're in the early stages of this, where we've new communities growing and people coming in from other countries, what can we learn, do you think, from the experiences of the UK and America and other countries?
I think the most important thing is for us to start seeing the signs early.
Yes.
I mean, there's things that happened even after George Floyd that happened here in Ireland. It's because that time a lot of eyes were on it and people were starting to share more about the things that's happened to them. And we started seeing like the foundations of those things that we're trying to avoid. And I think when we start seeing those, you know, those early signs, the most important thing is like stuff like this, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
People using whatever skill and whatever art form that they have to talk about it and tackling those things head on very, very early at the early stage. So even if I know, okay, I can change the generation that already have their head strong that Ireland belongs to the white Irish, I know I can influence their children because they're coming to watch poetry shows that I'm performing at, you know?
Yeah. What about diversity, you know, in the media? I'll stay with you, Dugogo, first. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm not a huge fan. I know this is kind of controversial to say while I'm on RTE.
I'm not a
huge fan of traditional media. I don't believe in traditional media. I'm a huge fan of social media because then the power is in the hands of the people. Because not a lot of people trust traditional media anymore. Because at the end of the day,
that's not fair to say, really. You know, you like people came to things, you know, traditional media like RTE and newspapers, and even, you know, independent.ie, journal.ie. That's where they got their information during times like the pandemic.
Exactly.
You know?
But then, after it only took like a few months for people to realize that the government uses that to just peddle whatever information that they want to peddle.
Until you have the law of the country.
Yeah, but like until you have the power of the information in the hands of the people.
Yeah. Well, that's dangerous as well, you know. That's dangerous as well, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, you know. And, like, I would have a huge problem with the power of the tech companies and social media, because they don't have to go through the same rigor that we do as traditional media, if you like. So they're saying we're just a technology company. We're not a publishing house. So they don't have to, you know, they're not under the same rules as we are.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I'm not saying there's no pros or cons.
That's for another day.
That's a different conversation.
So, Amanda, I'm wondering, because you know that's in women in sport, if you can't see it, you can't be it. Mm-hmm. So do you think that Black and Irish, the community, are represented enough in the media?
I would say we are probably represented more in the last year than we previously have been. Are represented enough? Probably not. You know, there's one thing that I've kind of been seeing. I've been seeing a lot of, you know, shift towards having, you know, people there for diversity and stuff like that. But I think where...
How do you feel about that? Because it's positive discrimination, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I struggle
with
it.
Some of it is.
I personally kind of struggle with the authenticity of it. I struggle with, you know, kind of just with questioning whether it's just for diversity or if people are actually put in certain spaces because, you know, first of all, they're actually qualified to be there and they're wanted in those spaces. And if they're in those spaces, do they actually feel included? And this is the thing, like, between diversity and inclusion, and I think people kind of get the lines blurred a bit. The way I saw a really good analogy for it is, like, diversity is like being asked to a dance, but inclusion is like being asked to dance. So are people actually being included in these spaces? Do they feel like they actually have an input in those spaces that they're
now in? So hold on, you have to explain that analogy to me.
So diversity is like being asked to a dance.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're invited to the dance.
Yeah. But what?
No one is actually bringing you on the dance floor.
Right, okay.
So the inclusion part of it is actually being asked
to dance.
Would you like to dance?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by that.
I
just feel like...
But I think nudging the situation is good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So you need a little bit of positive
100%,
discrimination.
To get people in the door.
To redress the balance, yes.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And what about you, Martin, and representation of the travelling community?
Well, I don't think I need to be very, very bluntly on that, but the representation of us in the media for the last 20 to 30 years is embarrassing, and it's shameful, and it's one-dimensional, and it's bare-knuckle boxing, and it's traveller feuds, and it's family feuds, and that's all you hear about us.
It's very frustrating. How do we write that?
I mean, look, as I said recently, the travellers that are coming through, and I said it recently on Claire Byrne last week, I said the travelling people that's coming through, for the first time ever, maybe in 10 years, we could actually have travellers have traveller role models in the community.
Yeah.
Because we have so many people breaking in different areas of society and culture.
You have Cindy Joyce, we've had her on.
That's what I'm saying, Cindy.
You have Eileen Flynn, the senator.
Senator.
We have John Connors.
We have John Connors. We have Thomas Connors. We have Joshua O'Donoghue.
Yeah.
We have Willie Casey Woolsey, who is flying it.
You were saying that you'd like to see the travelling community represented in sport more.
Yes, I would love to see, because GAA is a fundamental part of our culture, I would love to see a traveller star in that. I would love to see them playing for their county and becoming a star for them, lifting the Sam Maguire or the Liam McCarthy Cup, playing for the Irish national team one day, wearing the jersey or in rugby. It would be amazing because we're part of the culture, so we should have that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm encouraged. You know, there's, you know, a lot done, a lot more to do, sort of thing. But I'm encouraged by talking to ye, because the future's in good hands.
Well, if we can just keep going in the positive light,
to
answer your question, and just to kind of show the reality. Obviously, we get enough of the negativity, and I'm in no way naive about the many problems with our community that they continue to show as well. And they need to work on that too.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is there's so much good out there, Ray, that it just needs to be shown as well.
Martin, thank you very much. Amanda Ade, we didn't get to talk about Kildare Town.
We
do that again.
Best town in Ireland.
The Go-Go Heart, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
And Our Land, which is worth a watch. It's three episodes, isn't it?
Three episodes.
And it's available to watch on the RTE Player right now-ish. That's it. We'll take a quick commercial break. Thank you very much.